All right, what's up, guys? Here on another episode of Eli and Mike on our podcast here in Beverly Hills. We have our amazing friend here, Lisa Azuelos. How are you, Lisa?
I'm great. How are you? I'm going to do this too.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Right?
I like you, did you just do that? Yeah. Okay, yeah. He does do that a lot.
Love it. Thank you for being here with us.
Yeah, thanks. So thank you for having me. It's my first American podcast.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
thank you.
We are very flattered. Oh, very God, very American of you, for sure.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Love it.
And talking about American, are you American?
I wish.
Oh my God.
I wish I was, honestly. I don't know why. This morning, I was still saying, I don't know what it is with me and America, but I love America so much. And I know not a lot of French people say that, but for me, when I'm here, I feel this is my home. Oh, wow. And I have no reason why. I just love America.
Wow. Thank you.
That like gave me the chills. Like, yeah. Alone, like I can feel it from you that this is your place.
Yeah, that's so true. But I can't explain it. That's the real thing.
Wow, I love that. I feel the same way too. Being here in Beverly Hills, I come from like a desert town, and but just being here, I don't know how to explain it. It just is the best feeling ever. So I definitely connect with you on that. Oh. Yes, I love that.
And Lisa, coming from France, you know, were you born and raised in France?
So the funny thing is I discovered something being in America, because you never say where were you born. In France, you ask where were you born and that's it.
Okay.
Here you say and raised. So I was born in France. I was born in Paris.
Oh, wow.
But then when an American asked me like 15 years ago, where were you raised? Then I was like, and I realized I wasn't raised.
I raised myself.
Oh, wow.
Got it.
Because I was in a boarding school from 0 to 8.
Really?
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that
oh,
was.
Oh, zero. Like, yeah, literally.
So oh, that's maybe that's the worst thing of my life. But, you know, it's so I don't remember being raised somewhere, because I was always different boarding school with different people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't have like a home in my memory until I'm 8.
Oh, got it.
So then it's Paris.
Oh, wow. And can we talk to you about the boarding school? Is that something we can open up about?
You can.
So boarding school, is this somewhere where your parents were not involved?
They were like, get rid of that kid.
Oh, got
I mean, it. Thank God I was with my little brother.
Okay.
So I was like taking care of my little brother too. Mm. So I was like a little girl and a mom, both. Okay. You know, I was like, that was, and unfortunately, one of the boarding school were like torture.
Really?
Place, yeah.
Really?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was, yeah. You didn't expect that. I'm from a Parisian. It's not Emily in Paris. So.
I'm like, oh my goodness. But that wasn't, hear about this.
But that wasn't in America. That was
No, that was in Geneva. That, not Geneva. That was in Verbier, which is a place in Switzerland.
Okay.
And we discovered after they did terrible things to a lot of kids. I mean, we were not the only ones.
Mm-hmm.
But we were like little tortured kids by crazy people who took money from rich people, because my mom was a star in France, you know, and they kind of didn't know this was not, you know, a place to have the kids there.
Right.
But, you know, it happens that this place was really weird and creepy and horrible.
Oh, my goodness. This definitely sounds horrible. We have a friend, Paris Hilton, who is somebody who, you know, advocates for this type of thing, tries to shut down certain places that are still doing this today.
Today. Yeah,
and
I mean, in Switzerland, it was until like 1985 or something.
Wow.
You know,
and
it's crazy. And I mean, there's been so many boarding schools for people, for Native Americans here and in Canada. And I mean, we heard all the stories and shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not comparing, but, you know, I feel for all those kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like without their parents, they don't know what the fuck they're doing here.
And
you can't explain anything. Thank God, trauma also erased memory. So,
wow. I understand that.
I mean, being an adult now, how do you find yourself looking at the past? Like, do you feel like it's helped progress where you're at now because you see things on a different perspective?
Yeah. I mean, for me, past and future are a construction. Only exists the present. I mean, because I, you know, of course I went into a lot of spirituality and I studied, like, I was Catholic, Jewish and Buddhist. So I know a lot about religion.
Yeah.
And
you
finally,
try them all.
You know, my religion is presence.
Wow.
You know, there is absence and presence. And presence is real religion, because presence is how you're gonna love your life right now. So it's been a work for me. It's been a journey for sure, because when you come from a torture place as a kid. Then you have to raise yourself. Then you have to cope with parents you don't know who are a little bit crazy because they, you know, obviously they're a little bit crazy. But also they were trying to do their best. Also, you have to forgive them. Right. Also, you have to forgive yourself. I mean, all this journey. And this is mainly why I love America so much, is I learned so much about transformation and and personal transformation in America.
But was that journey something you discovered on your own, or did you have someone that helped kind of move that?
No, you know, it's funny. I think my destiny is very special. When I was 10 years old, I was at that time with my mom, who was a little bit, you know, she was a movie star and a singer. And I was like realizing, and I see the place, it was in my little room, and I thought, okay, these people, my parents, are cuckoo. I must not be like them.
Okay.
I must have a great destiny. I must work on myself as soon as I can.
Wow. This and I was 10 years old. 10.
Yeah, and I decided that I would write and that I would work on myself.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, you know, I did all the crazy shit you want to do when you're a teenager. And I kind of forgot about it.
Okay.
But then it came back. When I was 20, I was like, okay, this is the time that I need to take care of myself.
Wow.
And you can literally recall when you're 20 and remembering you saying that to yourself as a child.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, you know, touching. But also what saves me is I don't have so many memories.
Okay.
Got it.
I maybe I didn't recover everything. And, you know, I'm like letting my memory, you know, dig that shit out.
Yes.
With its own pace. Okay. Not, you know, I'm not forcing it too much.
Got it. That's something great to share with the audience. Yeah. Because so many people have been through so many different things, something similar to this. And It's nice that you can share with them your story and tell them, hey, the memories can come back, but gradually let them come through.
I also, because a lot of people I hear, I mean, do ayahuasca. Personally, I'm very afraid of ayahuasca. Okay. I've done amazing psilocybin, you say? Psilocybin?
Okay. Is it similar to this?
It's mushroom
therapy. Oh, okay, yes.
Uh-huh.
And this brought me back to when I was a child, when I was a little girl, and I saw myself as a little girl, and I could talk literally to this little girl in the trip, and I realized how hungry, for example, this little girl was, because they wouldn't feed me so much. Then, you know, I have overweight situation, and I'm like, I would like to be thinner and everything, but suddenly after this therapy, I was like, so compassion for this little girl, because I touched how hungry I was when I was a kid. So now when I'm like doing stupid thing or overeating or whatever, you know,
the American thing.
No, because actually I just drink water and I don't do any processed food. So
amazing. Good for
but
you.
Even that,
yes,
I can still eat a lot.
There you go. Yes, there's still options. There's still options.
Like super good options.
We're all guilty of the same thing. Trust me.
And you know, since we're still on this topic, and it is a really tough topic, how were you? If you can answer this, you know, how were you able to, you know, be this mom at 8, even earlier, you know, being a sister, you know, taking care of your brother and going through these, you know, traumatic times, how are you able to keep your mind strong to get through this? Because a lot of people are, they're not able to make it through.
You know, I have studied Buddhism, as I told you, and they were saying that you kind of choose your family.
Mm-hmm.
So I always thought I chose this. I wouldn't understand why. Sometimes I would hate my parents for that. Sometimes I would hate myself more often for that. For who I was, or, you know, but I always had in my mind, I chose this. What is the reason? What is my journey? Why did I choose this family? Why this happened to me? But never as a victim, but more as a, you know, as a police officer wanting to know, you know, who committed the crime and how can we fix things, you know?
Wow.
I'm more like inquiry than victimizing myself. I want to understand this game, the game that's life.
Wow, that's such a great statement. I mean, there's many people, even I can't remember part of my past. I got hit by a car once and I just can't seem to go backwards anymore.
You can't.
Yeah, it's
like
just,
your memory is like protecting you.
It's really weird, but I do get little fragments like you do. And then I'm like, I think I remember something, but that can touch people's minds. I mean, everybody that watches this stuff, they can capture something. I'm like, oh my God, I am knowing what Lisa's going through. And a lot of people in this world, they try to hide it. But I'm glad that you're kind of letting it kind of just deliver itself. And the, whatever comes out, you're just going to accept it and live in the present.
And also, you know, I'm a movie maker. I'm a movie director. So all my life is on the screen. Because each time I was connecting with a way of healing or a trauma that I overcame, something like that, I made a movie about it.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I never made movie to heal, but because I was healed, I was able to do a movie about that period of my time.
Wow, that is so epic. You know, if I can come up with any word, that is so
if anybody wants to know my life, they can see I have 10 movies now from 25 goodness. To 59.
Wow, that's powerful.
Oh my goodness. Wait. So before we get into this, I love that, you know, so many different things that you do. I think it was just so amazing that you were able to share with us a little bit of your past, how to overcome it, and truly just
powerful.
Accepting, you know, that what your life is what it is, and how do you overcome it. And
I didn't always accept. I mean, I had my teenager period, I had the where I was like hiding into alcohol, sex, drug, rock and roll, whatever.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
It was this period when I was, you know, trying to shut down the trauma by, you know, drinking and all these things. But you always have to understand that whatever you do like bad is because something is even worse that you're trying to heal.
Oh,
you know, it's something that you're helping yourself with. So that's why I have a lot of compassion for people who just, you know, can't handle situations and are into drug and alcohol and all this. But you have to know that it's to numb another's suffering. And I was, as I told you, like a police officer, okay, who suffered? Why? What happened? You know, I was...
Right.
Amazing. So you got through, you know, your teens and, you know, you at least experienced your teens and all that.
Yeah.
And now you're in your 20s, you're recalling your past.
Yeah.
And is this where, like, the journey started when you were around 20?
Okay. This is, you know, maybe I'm going to cry because
okay,
I remember
something
right now. I saw coming this road, I saw the yellow Fred Hyman's.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is it that? The shop? It's yellow. It's at the end of this road.
It's, what is it called?
Is it yellow?
I think it was Fred Hyman's.
Okay.
Fred Hyman's?
Yes.
I mean,
okay.
I think.
Yes,
it's
yes.
It's a shop here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was Pretty Woman time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 25. And my father, for my 25th birthday, I knew I wanted to be a movie maker, but I didn't know how. So he offered me, for my 25th birthday, to stay 3 days at the... Beverly Wilshire, where Pretty Woman happened, because I was crazy about that, that movie.
Okay.
And I was doing like a retreat, 3 days with Robert McKee, who is one of the biggest screenwriter in Hollywood.
Wow.
Amazing.
So I was staying by myself. I don't know anyone in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I have those 3 days and going to learn how to write a script.
Wow.
And I feel I was sober for like 6 months.
Amazing.
Because I've been through a heart breakup and everything.
Got it.
And I decided I want to get married. And I get into that shop just here at the corner of your street.
Yes.
I'm 25 and I enter and I say, I'm going to get married. Can I buy something here? Because it was Pretty Woman, you know, place.
Yes.
When, you know, she got out of the shop and she says, big mistake.
Yes. We all remember
right?
that
yeah,
one.
Pretty
we
much.
All remember. Now,
right.
When we shop and we have too many bags.
Yes.
You
have the song
we start
in the
very
head.
Like,
And,
love it.
And they say, oh, when are you getting married? I say, I don't know. I haven't found my husband yet, but I know I'm getting married this year.
Oh, my gosh.
I was so determined to get married and have kids, age 25, that I entered that shop. I bought the dress. I found the husband, and I got married.
Wait, hold on. So this
wait,
is not a,
what?
This is a real game of life story that's actually happened.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Oh my
so
God.
You like?
No, but this is how crazy I am.
Okay.
Because it's crazy. I mean, if my daughter was doing that, I would kill her.
Honestly, right.
But times are different, though. They're a little different now than back then.
And so, like, how long did it take for like all that from when you got the dress to have your husband?
My birthday was in November. This is when I did the retreat, and I met my husband in February. And I got married in June.
Oh, my
God. Is your husband from here and from America?
No, but he came here to live here for 10 years. But, you know, I met him and I was like so determined. And so I thought I understood everything. And I was so spiritual and proud of myself being a Buddhist and everything, you know. And I told him, don't even try to have sex with me. I want to have a husband. I want to have like Amish people, you mm-hmm. know, like
yes.
I will only have sex if it's for marriage and to have mm-hmm. kids mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he said yes. And I was like, wow, God is sending me a sign. This wow. is the good
this
one.
Is it.
Yes. This is
yes.
it.
Okay.
I'm so lucky. I'm yeah. the luckiest girl. And right. I don't know him. I mean, it's Monday.
Oh
I'm saying this Thursday. And we make love on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
So you didn't know? Wait to get married?
Oh, wow.
And I feel pregnant.
Oh.
First time. And I'm like, well, this is a sign. God wants me to get married with this guy and have a kid with this guy. This is how crazy I am. It happened.
Okay. Oh okay.
But it was, you know, you have to let life happen to you. You yes. can't decide life too much for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, it's a this weird game with life.
Yeah.
Okay. That life is happening for you, but not to you. And when
so
you
true.
Don't trust life, because I was a trauma kid,
mm-hmm.
I didn't trust life.
Right.
I said, it's going to happen the way I want.
Yes.
And I decide this and this is... Which is great because I'm manifesting.
Right.
Yes.
But too much with my will, not enough with my heart and
okay.
my reason. And
wow.
you know, it's
yes.
it's a
work.
It's a funny game.
Yes.
And,
yes.
and do you feel like when you were at the Wilshire, did you believe that at that moment that's when you became feeling like you would be a director or a producer
yeah.
of movies? Like what happened in that moment where you're just like, this is what I want to do for a living?
Well, actually when I think when I did the retreat, when I did the 3 days with Robert McKee, I already did my short movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because mm-hmm. I did my short movie. It was in the beginning when I was 25 and this was, or 24. When I did the retreat with him, I was like, wow, I must be very gifted because this is exactly what I did in my movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was like suddenly he confirmed me that I was made for that.
Wow.
You know? But when I did my short movie, the first day I said, okay, action, you know, because you're a director, you're supposed to
wow.
be the one saying action.
Oh my God, amazing.
Suddenly I felt like, you know, like in the movie, The Ten Commandments,
uh-huh.
like God is like, this is you.
Oh
and
my
I felt
God.
Like the light on
wow.
me and like,
oh
and
my
I felt,
God,
this is it. This is what I need to do as mm. a job. This
wow.
is me. This is finally I found myself. And because it was so strong that day, I was sure it was me. But then when I went to the, you know, Pretty Woman, Hollywood,
okay.
Beverly Wilshire,
uh-huh.
all this happening the same year,
oh,
I was
wow.
like, okay, this is
it really
where,
is.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah. So then when you came today, because we're on the same street, everyone.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah,
yeah
on the
yeah.
same street.
Really.
How did you feel when you just, did you get like some flashbacks? Were you?
You know, it's funny because I told you, I just saw the little yellow building.
Yes.
It's
yes.
just, you'll see. Maybe
I've
you
see,
never,
yeah,
I mean, you live here. Maybe you never noticed it.
We probably
right.
haven't noticed
exactly.
it.
Yeah. But I know which one you're talking
yeah.
about because it's the yellow one.
Yeah,
so
it's the
yes,
yellow one.
Yes, yes.
And I thought I would do my career here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, okay, I love America. I'm learning how to write in English. I had a great English teacher so I could learn more English. But because I met my husband, then I went back to France and I
oh.
did all my life as a married woman.
Oh, I see.
Being a mother. So it I didn't quite go the way I wanted because I really wanted to do movies here,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And it happened that I did my movies in France.
Got it.
Got it.
Now, you're obviously, we're sitting with you today and you do so many different lines of work. It's directing, it's producing. I mean, there's so many writing and so many different things.
Yeah.
So some people might think like the writer is the producer or the producer is the director, but all of these things are also different, all different lines of work, but you're able to literally be all three, which
yeah.
is so incredible to us. We were driving here today and we were just like, how is she able to have the mindset to, you know, run all three of these businesses? Is there any way you could talk to us about that?
The worst thing
phenomenal.
Is being a mother, by the way. This is really when you really need to be focused.
Yes. Oh, my God.
All those three, easy. Being a
okay.
mom of three kids, another story.
Okay.
Understood.
And I feel God. Like I am a storyteller, you know, more than producer, author, director, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I am caught by a story or I have a story to tell. And, you know, it's like I always do this image. Imagine you're a runner and you're given in a bowl some water and you need to go from LA to New York with this bowl of water just
mm-hmm.
walking.
Mm-hmm.
And the mission is you have to have as much water when you arrive in New York than what you were given in LA. this is a storyteller. This is my mission. So if I have to produce, to direct, to whatever, so that there is enough water when I arrive at the other side of the country, I will do anything for that. Mm. Because more than anything, I am a storyteller. I am a story keeper. Mm-hmm. Am I a story giver?
Wow.
You
wow.
know? Wow. That's my mission.
That is amazing.
And sometimes it's my story of my life. Sometimes it's the story of somebody else's mm-hmm. life. And anyway, what I want to say is the story of humanity,
mm-hmm.
mostly about women, because I'm a woman and this is how, you know, I feel the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my first script that was a success was about three men, and I was going through the divorce. And because I was writing those three men, then I had compassion for those men,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it was, it's a yes. fun thing.
Wow. You have three children, right?
Yeah.
Do your three children support your movement, yeah, what you're doing?
Yeah. So the small one is an actress.
Amazing.
It's a girl. Then the middle one didn't support at all. It was a guy and he doesn't want to have nothing to do with mom. And suddenly he's producing comedy.
Amazing.
And he's okay. helping me with my company and he wants to be a producer.
Hey, shout out to mom, yeah. right? Shout out to mom.
Okay. Mom knows best.
Mom yeah. knows best.
And the first one is an amazing DP assistant.
Oh my God, amazing.
And she's also a director, but she sometimes feels she cannot be yet a director, so she'd rather stay with the DP.
Oh,
love
wow.
it, love it. We're, yeah. we're fathers as well, so we know how it is to run businesses and yeah. you know, the work that you're doing, but also your kids are at home and you have to, how do you yeah. involve them? How do you, you know, keep them in, you know, inspired in what we're doing before, you know, they're younger and they're like, what are you guys doing on film? And recently, kind of like your son, our son has even been like, oh, you guys are having that. Can I go with you guys? And so definitely I would agree with you when it comes to the hard part of
right.
work
yeah.
is being a parent.
It really is.
That's,
yeah.
you know,
this we're is struggling. Where you can't lie.
Right.
Yeah. You can't right. pretend you're so great
exactly.
because you're going to be shitty half of the day.
Yeah.
You're going to say yes. things you didn't want to say.
Right.
You're going to eat things you didn't want to eat. You're
right.
going to prepare a bad meal or
yes.
you're going to have no time for preparing. I mean, you're going to disappoint yourself every day, mm-hmm. but you're also going to feel like a hero.
Exactly.
Wow.
So it's
exactly. that is right
I
on
love
point,
that.
Right
that that's so
point.
True.
Yeah.
So you also have, I believe you have a production company
yeah.
and I'm hoping I'm going to say this correct. Beth Sabe Mucho.
So it's not Beth Sabe Mucho anymore. It's called
oh.
Love is in the Air.
Love is in the air.
Yeah,
okay.
Because when you do it, it's Lisa.
Oh my God. Love
oh
is
yeah. Beth. Oh my God. That's yeah. right.
And
oh
it was God. My father's favorite song.
Okay. There
so
you go.
That's
love
why
it.
I called it.
Oh,
Love
that's
is
so
in
amazing.
And Beth Sabe Mucho, my great grandmother name was Beth Sabe.
Okay.
Mm. So it's not Beth Sabe Mucho, which in Espanol means kiss me more.
Kiss me more, yeah.
But Betsabe is the name of my grandmother, and so I played with the word Betsabe Mucho. So.
Wow, I love that.
That's amazing.
What was there a reason why you gave it that name? Was there a very strong link with you and your grandma?
Yeah, so I was very linked to my grandma and to the great grandmother, the mm-hmm. mother.
Yeah,
the
grandma.
That's the name.
Yeah, I think it's great grandmother.
Yes.
Great grandma.
yes.
And yeah, her name was Betsabe, and. My name is Beth Sabe also.
Oh,
I was
wow, okay.
given that like as a fourth name.
Mm-hmm.
This is like my Jewish name from my father's side.
Amazing.
So my father's name is Judah and my mother's name is Mary.
Okay.
So it was a very contradictory family. I've been very, very Catholic, very, very mm-hmm. Jewish. Then I chose Buddhism.
Buddha.
And then finally I chose myself.
You chose oh my presence.
I chose, and yeah, I chose presence.
The
presence.
Yeah.
I chose God in the large way.
Wow,
you know,
this is honestly one of the first times we've heard this like on our podcast, which is so amazing. We talk about all different type of religions, but living in the present, this type of religion is just so powerful. When you talk about it, I get the chills. I mean,
yeah, because it's, you know, what else?
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, it's George Clooney in France. He's doing some advertising mm-hmm. for Nespresso. And he has this cup of Nespresso and he says, what else? And, you know, what else than presence?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Oh my goodness. Wow, so true. So, and you know, having these production companies, you were stating that you did most of your movies in France, Paris.
Yeah.
What would you say the difference is from, you know, having to work out there, produce movies out there, then producing them out here? Because I know, fast forward into time, you did some really amazing movies out here with like Miley Cyrus and Demi Moore.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys seen it, the movies LOL. came out in like 2012. Yeah. I mean, this was an extremely major movie.
So good.
I even remember seeing all of the, you know, ads for it. And I was like, oh my God, Miley Cyrus is making a film. And you were the one directing it right behind, telling them what to know, you did it wrong type thing. What would you say the difference is from working out there than working in America?
That's what's fascinating about movie, whether it's a big movie or a small movie. I mean, you have more money, you have bigger stars. But at the end of the day, you're just telling a story. Mm. And you need to remember that you're only telling a story. It's not nothing, but it's not extraordinary. You're just telling a story, you know. But you're going to do it the best way you can. And there's not a lot of difference. I think American men are much nicer than French men.
Okay.
So that was mainly the difference because, you know, there's a lot of men in a crew helping with like the cameras and the grip and the lights and everything.
Yes.
And they were like, are you okay? Do you want any help? And, you know, I was very tired at that time. So they would, you know, always make me a little bed somewhere. This is for you to rest if you need any rest. And I thought they were so, those big, strong guys, you know, with trucks and stuff. And they were so sweet to me.
Oh,
you know,
that.
In France, people can get very cynical or very, especially before Me Too, very like sexually bizarre or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But here, you know, and it was before Me Too. And I must say, all those men were helping me so much.
Wow.
Working, making this movie great.
Wow.
Also, you know, I was with two enormous big stars.
Yes.
And we were shooting in Detroit when Detroit was not trendy at all.
Oh,
it was
like
real bad. But I had such a love for this city.
Wow.
Because it was so desperate, but it was a beauty about it. And at the beginning I was depressed, and then at the end I was crying I was leaving Detroit.
No,
so you know, it's this is why I say I love America, because I love, of course, LA and New York, but not New York so much. But but I went to Detroit, you know, and I went to Detroit when it wasn't fancy, and it's still not so fancy, I think. But I was with those two stars, so happy to not be in Hollywood, so free to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So we had such a free moment with Americans, and Americans know how to party, how to enjoy, how to get the best out of every moment.
Right.
There is something. I mean, in France, we say cinema. Here you say entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's entertainment all the time. It's entertaining.
Yes.
This is what I love, because life is an entertainment also, you know?
Right.
And you remember this here.
Oh my God, I love that.
Do you recall, and this might be a hard question for you, but do you recall the top three movies you've directed or produced that maybe are in the top of your mind?
Oh.
And they might be your top, because some TPS people might think, you know, their top three different than yours.
Well, definitely LOL, it changed my life. Because I did the French and the American version.
Oh
I did both.
And actually, before you move on to the next two, was LOL kind of a reference to your life as well? Because you said...
Yeah, of course. It's it's even written
based
on a true story. I mean, it was funny to
I
say
didn't
that.
Know that.
Okay.
Because it was just the story, usually it's based on a true story, and it's like the story of a president.
Yes.
Or it was just the story of a mom trying to raise three kids.
Oh my God.
That's why it was funny.
Wow.
I'm going to cry now.
You know, I said it's based on a true story because it was the story of just a mom, you know?
Wow.
But this is never considered that should be quoted based on a true story, because it didn't happen anything else than, I'm a mom, single mom trying to raise three kids, you know? But this is a true story also. This should be told. This should be, you know, given to the world.
Right.
That going through the teenage years of your kids, when you think you're still a teenager sometime, is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And LOL was a huge success in France. That's why I got the opportunity to do it here with such big stars.
Yes.
Wow.
And so a lot of people prefer the French version. I have a big tenderness for the American version as well, because I love Demi so much and I love Miley so much.
Yes.
And all the crew, you know, I stayed very friend with Lena Esco was there too. And I mean, I'm still friends with most of them today.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Oh, and it was such a great experience. But unfortunately, the movie didn't go out in theaters here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there was not Netflix at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it stayed on Netflix. Then it's on Amazon, Netflix everywhere. It's
everywhere.
Of course.
You still see
it's like it's a classic.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're probably going to go see it again just because you spoke about
it. We have to, because we didn't know until you told us it was based on you. So I'm just like, oh my
God. We just want to envision your life through that movie. Now that we so now we get to see
movie
it.
Movie of mine, you're going to know who
God.
I am.
Oh my God.
You know, I was like, anyway, I'm living this life. Let's give it to whoever is interested in sharing my life.
Yes.
And I know the more I share my life, the better people feel mm-hmm. about themselves because they're like, okay, so I'm not so strange or I'm not. You know, it's mm-hmm. being very personal makes you very universal. Mm-hmm. And
absolutely.
This is what I like in telling my stories.
Yes, yes.
Love that.
And I would agree. Aloha was one of the main. And what about the other two?
Yeah.
What would you say?
I would say Dalida, because mm-hmm. she was an enormous singer in France.
Okay.
She was one of the biggest stars. And I did the movie from 1935 to 1987. Where she committed suicide. So basically it's the movie of a woman who had everything. She was the most successful singer. She was like amazing, the best voice, amazing story, but she was so lonely. Nobody would really love her. Her three lovers committed suicide. She tried to commit suicide three times.
My goodness.
And at the end she managed. And basically I did a movie about suicide, but also an amazing life.
Mm.
And she left a note when she died and she said, please forgive me, life is unbearable. And when I realized now, because I'm almost about the same age, I realized she was going through menopause and menopause can lead women to suicidal, you know, thinking, ideas, everything. Because the hormones is really what directs our lives.
Yes.
True.
And I learned this in America because we don't talk about this in France yet.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I realized that she was not well, you know, at that time in the 80s, you had menopause, you were finished, mm-hmm. you were done, even though you were a great star. And she couldn't, you know, handle it, hormone. She didn't have a kid because she got an abortion against her will and she got destroyed.
Wow.
And all these things, it was also talking about not being a mother and also about how you cope with the stardom and, you know, suicide and all these things. And it was also a way for me to talk about my mom, who was as big a singer as that.
Wow.
Wow.
Those are some very big challenges. I mean, people speak about it a lot in America, so I can see how the challenges are out there in different countries. Because mm-hmm. here there's a lot of freedom and passion into that. Like I even think the equality between men and women is so much more open here. Everybody wants to have equal rights. So I can see how it might be challenging, but you made a movie that kind of captured, you know, those problems people have, the females have.
Yes.
And you were able to explain it in a way where people can understand.
And even a connection to your mom, it just makes it so much more
of
a feel to the movie, even just like the Al Al movie, you know, having that connection with you and then you're actually directing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just so incredible that
Amazing.
You could go out there and do that.
It's just, you know, I was proposed that. It came in a very incredible way. I mean, it was... I feel, and I kind of have the, you know, this almost like the proof that she chose me, because I wasn't supposed to direct it. I wasn't supposed to do it. And one day I talked to a medium and she says, oh, Dalida is thanking you for doing her movie. And I was like, well, first, she's dead. And second, I'm not doing it because the rights have been, you know, bought by somebody else.
Oh, I see.
And I'm not going to fight. And, you know, that's her idea. That's not my idea. And she says, oh, she doesn't want this person. It's going to be you. And in 3 years, I was like, yeah, sure, you know. And 3 years after, like day per day, they came back with the right, say, okay, we didn't manage with this woman. Can you do it again? Can you do it?
Wow.
You know, and then I was like, okay, I'll do it. You know, I was, you know.
Kind of right.
But it's, you know, it's funny because about equal rights, I know we all talk about equal rights. But I don't see how you can have equal rights when you don't have equal hormones.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, and you don't know it until you go through hormonal changes, you know?
Absolutely.
And you don't really realize, you think, yeah, I'm as strong as, or I'm as vulnerable as, or whatever.
Yes.
But no, hormone is before the heart beats in a fetus. Mm. Did you know that?
Yes.
Wow.
It's crazy what hormones do.
Oh my God.
And we are not equal in hormones, so... We have to find a way to navigate the inequality of hormones, and then maybe we'll find a better way to be in equality in like real life. Because Hormonal life is the real life.
Yeah, life. Literally. Yes. We're going through some all right now. Yeah. Oh my
God. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, exactly. Like exactly.
Oh my God. And which would have been your third one, their third movie?
So third one is difficult because it's like Sophie's Choice. I don't want to throw anybody.
Oh right. My goodness.
Yeah. I know. We're okay, all
maybe
like,
we'll skip it.
We're all like,
maybe we won't say
no,
what it
but,
is.
No, you know, yeah. I love all my movies. That's
yes,
the thing.
Yes,
understood.
Yes.
One was like a kind of a disaster, not a disaster, but it didn't bring any money. It's called Quantum Love, and okay. I love this movie because I'm talking about love and what it can be in your head and what it can be in reality. And it's like I thought it was very elegantly made, mm-hmm. but maybe a little bit too soon for quantum physics mm. in love. You
I
know,
just mm. felt that. I
you
just
know, it's
felt
like
that. Yes.
Quantum physics is just beginning to be
right.
a topic now,
right.
and in 2014 it wasn't really the same.
Got
right.
It.
And
even the name now compared to 2014,
yeah.
right now this name was all over. It would be all over.
Yeah.
Because that's what all every, yeah. it's starting
yeah.
now.
And you know, I did this movie. My latest movie is called I Love America because I wanted to pay tribute to America, which I love so much.
Oh my God, amazing!
And I was living here, and my mom passed away like the year I came here mm. to live.
Got it.
And mm. this movie is for me to also show the road of forgiveness to somebody who clearly abandoned me mm-hmm. and didn't treat me well as a kid, but also gave me so much. So it was my journey of healing and forgiving, and I think mm-hmm. it's a very interesting movie for that.
Oh gosh, I cannot wait
wow.
to see this.
It's on Amazon.
Oh my God, we're gonna
oh,
probably
there.
Watch it
okay.
tonight.
Okay,
like,
okay,
I
let's
feel it.
Watch it
and
tonight.
We're gonna send you a picture.
I love America.
Oh my God, I love America. Like, oh my gosh, and
yeah.
The story behind it is just
yeah.
so epic. You would think,
know.
You know, it's gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna watch a movie about America.
Yeah.
But there's so much more deep into that. What you just explained is just, oh my goodness.
And it was funny because at that time, Trump was president already
mm-hmm.
when I wrote it. And people were like, oh, that's so nice. You love America because I know we have Trump. This is horrible, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I was saying at that perfect moment, I was saying, I still love America.
Yes.
I love America.
Yes.
And, you know, it's funny that now he's back and
yeah.
that, you know, it's like
oh
America
God.
Again.
Yes.
It's funny. All I mean, the story of America is very fascinating mm-hmm. for me.
Mm-hmm. And, I love
that.
Know. I love that you have the interest in it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Not only are these your top three, you're actually working on a movie documentary right now, which
yeah.
I believe it's like the perfect time for this type of documentary for the whole world. And I believe the documentary is Consent.
Yeah.
And is there any way you can give us a little bit on this?
I can even send you the, it's a one minute trailer.
Oh my God,
gonna,
please.
I'll send it to you and
oh
I'll make
God.
It, and I'll
okay.
make it subtitles in English.
That
would, but
I love
basically,
that.
That would be great.
You know, I went, because I was watching about all this Me Too movement. You know, I'm the one who produced Free the Nipple.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm like the one who started
oh
my with
gosh,
my friend
I didn't
Lina
know
Esco.
That. Wow.
The movement Free the Nipple.
Yes.
I produced. I gave all my money of
wow.
LOL went on Free the Nipple.
That was one
oh,
of the
wow.
biggest things going on
yeah.
in the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
That was like one of the
so
major.
I consider myself like I'm the one who, you know, threw
yes.
the bombs. And, you know,
yes.
I was like, yeah, men,
yeah.
Nah,
mm-hmm.
women, what
mm-hmm.
happens? And, you know, so... I produced Free to the Nipple, and I was very involved in all the feminist world.
Wow.
And I was like, we need to have equality, like you say, and blah, blah, blah. And then Me Too happens, and I see Harvey Weinstein. And I'm like, wait a minute. I was in Cannes Film Festival all years, and everybody was like, this is the king of
the
He's show, the
guy.
You know?
He's the guy.
And I see the documentary about Harvey Weinstein, and I'm like, wait a minute. This guy is not like the bad pupil of a good system, he's the good pupil of a bad system.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
he's been covered by the entire
right.
industry, system, capitalism, you name it. So I'm like, what happens? I'm not going to shame this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to shame the system that made this guy who he is. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, he was just maybe a fat guy in the school who couldn't have any girls and who wanted to fuck girls, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I have compassion for that because, mm-hmm. you know, not everybody is Brad Pitt. I
okay.
wish everybody was Brad Pitt.
You know?
By
yeah.
the way, Brad,
exactly.
listen to me. Okay.
Right, right. We love you, Brad.
We love you, Brad.
We love
but, you know, and Harvey Weinstein is not Brad Pitt,
Brad
you know?
Pitt. Yes.
But he wants to have the same girls as Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing all this crazy shit. And suddenly I see the documentary and I'm like, what is in this system that is so rotten that it covers a guy like that? And I go into the system, and at the end of the road, what I discover is horrible, but it's the truth, is that consent is the enemy of profit, you know? So everybody can you know, say, oh, we want consent, me too, blah, blah, blah. Wow. Everybody wants profit. That's the truth. And profit is the enemy of consent. So we need to choose, because you don't make any profit today if somebody, if everybody consents. There's no, it's going to be sharing. It's going to be, you know, growth. It's going to be thrive, but it's not going to be profit. And you need to choose if we want a consented world or if we want a profitable world. We need to choose. And this is now. This is happening now.
That is so now. And such a hard.
And that's my documentary. I'm looking for money, by the way.
Okay, let's go. And it's called Consent.
And it's already available.
No, it's not, because I want to do the I want to do a great movie about that, because I studied economics. I studied movies, obviously. I want to relate our sexual behaviors, which is basically penetrate without consent very often.
Right.
And capitalism, which penetrates the soul, the markets, everything without consent. It's not because you accept cookies that you consent, you know. So I want to make it like, can we not penetrate without consent, but maybe more welcome abundance and create abundance?
That's a very
and not
strong
penetrate without consent.
I mean, that message is so strong.
Yeah.
You know, so you're also, you know, aside from that, you're also, I believe you also have your own podcast.
Yeah.
So what's how did you get inspired in doing that? Because obviously we've been doing our podcast for some time now, and we love interviewing people. And we actually use this as a tool to get more knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, we get to learn
and
more from each other.
Energies and just like just connecting with you is just so powerful. But definitely, you know, what started your podcast?
But it's being in the U.S. that I you know, I love Mel Robbins' podcast. I listen to Joe Rogan. I listen to Brené Brown. I listen to all these people.
Eli and Mike.
Next Eli Mike.
Exactly. It looks like Elon Musk, but it's Elon Mike.
There you go.
Like so funny.
Yes.
And
but yes.
But you know, I was inspired by all those podcasts in those last 5 years that I was listening to, and I said, "Is there any? There's a lot of great French podcasts, but I was like, you know what? People always tell me I have a voice. They love talking to me. So why wouldn't I share? This is another way of me to share stories. You know, that like you want to meet me. I want to meet you. And something is happening, something real.
Yes.
Even though there's camera and everything.
Right.
But we have a moment.
Yes.
Although I don't know who you are. I know one is have blue hair. The
right.
Other is
you know.
That's about it.
Right.
You know? Exactly. And I know you're doing many things. And I can't imagine being like, in reality, real estate and podcast and fashion and everything that you do. I kind of love it, you know. And in France, you're in a silo. You're either or.
Here
it's more quantum physics.
Yes.
Here. And in France, it's either or all the time. And I can't be that person.
Got it.
And from here, you're able to reach them and be as many as you want to be.
Yeah.
Just like you, like you're the director, the producer, screenwriter.
You're like the pioneer. You're the pioneer.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my gosh.
And I love not a lot of like famous people. I'm a little bit more famous in France. And have their own podcast in France. Not a lot of them.
Yes.
And I was like, you know what? People always want to have my opinion, and I love to have other people's opinion. And I sometimes I confront people and I don't agree with them. I would love to have more people that I don't agree with, but not to fight, like, you know,
of course,
those horrible fights on TV or whatever to make more money. Just to say, okay, the art of conflict, the art of arguing, the art, not the,
aggressive.
The Facebook, Instagram, like, I hate, I like,
exactly.
I hate, I like. No,
swipe.
I mean, the word is like 50, you know, shades of like it. Something like that.
I love that. So so what's the next journey for you? So you accomplished a lot and when you consider everything that's been against you, you know, from birth all the way to where you're at today, and the challenges that you've overcame and all these things you've created for youth and adults, for them to be entertained but also gain knowledge, what's the next thing? Let's just say if you were to align yourself, you know, you're how old, you said you're 52?
59.
So you're 59.
You look amazing.
You look amazing. So what do you see yourself in your 60s? What's the next thing in store for you?
In 1 year. Also. So
Sorry.
Next year.
I see myself pretty soon in my 60s. It's here. Well, I wish somebody had told me when I was 20 years old that being 60 is great, you know, because I was always worried, oh, my God, I have to do this because I'm going to be old and then I can't do it. And then, no, it's not true. Life is not going somewhere there. Life is not a coming out. It's a coming in. That's what I think, you know. Wow. And coming in, it's better if the road is clear and nice and, you know. So I've worked a lot so that my coming in is smooth. And I know I have a lot of stuff to do again, but my big concern today is teenagers. LOL is my, you know, tribute to teenagers. Yes. And I see 25% higher rates of suicide in teenagers.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned. They took so much medicine so early. They have, you know, the social media is so strong against their poor little mind that is not yet formed. You know, a teenager is considered until 25. So from age, let's say they have their first cell phone, age 10, you know, 100% of 10 years old see porn.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And it's not like how mom and dad used to love themselves. Exactly. It's something more violent.
Most right.
Definitely. So I'm very concerned by sexuality so hardcore and love so not there anymore. You know, my time, we had Out of Africa, Pretty Woman.
Yes.
We had all these kind of movies that were love story. Today's tell me a love story. I'm so happy that Anora is getting so much good review because it's a love story. And I was hearing Sean Baker saying, you know, where are those movies? Where are they? And he's doing them. Yes. And I want to do them, you know, here. Gosh. I would love, you know, my big thing would be to do I Love America That America Loves Me Too.
That's like a part two.
I would give so much to America.
Yeah.
You know? So that would be my big dream. And I would give so much to American teenagers who seem to be so apart between the one who want this and the other one who want that and the one who have this opinion and the other. I mean, stop it. And, you know, we're all so vulnerable.
Yes.
And I think, you know, equality is not being as strong or as powerful, is being as vulnerable. And if equal rights is more equal vulnerability for me. That's what it is.
And I love this so much. I just have a question about this because I feel like the person you were talking about stating, you know, where are these movies? Where is the culture? Where is the real love that used to be here in America?
The streamers, you know, really did a lot of harm to those movies.
Because that's what my question was going
to
be.
So I want them to come back. And they are coming back because realize that there is a need for people just to connect with love stories.
Yes, it's so important. There's not anything like that today. And if you're the person that would bring it back, that would be such an honor.
Yeah, trust me, you hire me, you're going to have so many love stories. You're going to
No. Which is what we need.
We need a couple more.
Love is in the air. That's the name of my company.
I love that.
Oh my God.
And they say, and it spells out Lisa, so it's perfect. Well, Lisa, we really appreciate you coming down here from Los Feliz. Thanks for coming out here. And honestly, where can people find you? Obviously, everybody knows where to find her movies. Where can people find, is it right here, Lisa Azuelos, is your Instagram?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, perfect. So they can find you there. And obviously, are you on any other platforms? Or
like, how do we reach out to you so we could fund some of these movies? Anybody out there?
I know, I'm so bad. I tried a kickstart. I did the trailer, then I put it on Instagram. And then I tried to do the Kickstarter, and then something went wrong. So I was like, okay, I just did a trailer for nothing. It's okay.
No. Send us a trailer. We'll post it.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Let's figure this out. Okay. So we need to figure out how to make this go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's not only money. You know, I just want to have somebody who trusts me and who says, okay, I believe in you.
Yes.
Let's give you like 2 years. Let's see what you can create here.
Definitely.
That would be my dream.
I love that. Yeah. And you know, one person.
But it's not money. It's being with somebody who trusts me.
Right. I have to say this person because David, who referred you to us, which is so amazing. He's one of these people that you could trust, the energy. Yeah. And we just have to give a shout out to him because he is one of those people. Yeah. And I know we are one of those people. Now we know you're one of those people. Yeah. And it's crazy how good people always end up in the same room. I always say that. And
It's like, you know, the manifestors.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
All we want is manifest something for the greater good, maybe, or, you know, or if it's there's bad, we'll handle it too.
Wow.
I love that. So well, our message to you is we believe in you.
Okay.
And
thank you so
we cannot
America
wait.
America loves you.
America oh my loves God. You.
I love doing you. This too because it's a prayer. It's yes, a thank you. Right. And basically, this is presence.
Yes. Yes. Oh my there God. You go. So I've been practicing presence.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it.
So you guys
so
can
much.
Practice thank presence you. Too. Truly appreciate you guys. Expect a couple of reels out. Yeah. Definitely on YouTube. And Lisa, thank you so much for being
thank
here with
so
us.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye.